Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm playing an interview I did with artist Larry Forgard. Larry's story is very interesting, as Larry seems to have been an artist virtually from day one. So, hang on. Larry's story, up next. Here come the show. Is all about becoming who you really are. Well, maybe first about finding who you really are, since I don't think many of us actually know. If you've been listening to the show, you know I think we're hiding much of ourselves not only from the world, but from ourselves. And that I usually talk a lot about that at the beginning of the show, and then I play an interview with someone who makes their living or their life with their art. Today, I'm not going to talk at all because I have an interview with Larry Forgard, an artist in many, many guises. And it's a long interview, so I don't have time for me to talk. So, Larry, a man who very much is who he is, and who that is an artist. And so I'm going to stop talking now and play the interview with Larry Forgard. Okay, so here I am with Larry Forgard, and Larry is an artist, and we don't know each other, and he doesn't know what this interview is all about, so I will just tell you. I do a series called Anatomy of an Artist, and I interview people who make their living or their life with their art, and I always ask them the same question. How did it happen? How did you find it? How did it find you? How did you know you were an artist? When did you know? Was it an accident? Did you always mean to? That's what I like to know.
It's something that happens, I think, in most cases when you're very young.
So did it happen to you when you were very young?
Yeah, in my case, I remember, in fact, I still have the drawing that I kept from my mother kept for me. I was 28 months old and I started to draw.
Are you kidding?
And it's interesting I was attracted to that. I was always attracted to the visual world. And your
mother kept it.
Yeah, and I have that drawing right now, and I've kept it. It's kind of interesting to look back. And
well, something that's so remarkable about that for me is the, a lot of parents would have said, oh, that's cute, and thrown it out. Mm-hmm. You know, they would not have honored it.
Yeah.
So it gives such a message that she kept it. Mm-hmm. And another kid, I suppose, might have said, oh, yeah, right, you know, it's on the refrigerator, big deal. But somehow she honored it and it had meaning for you. Am I getting this wrong?
Yeah, it's interesting. I never thought about why would, you know, she keep the first drawing. But it said something to her, and of course, it was great. I'm very happy that she kept it, because it just it's just nice to know that, you know, there was an interest there on her part also.
Yes.
Maybe she knew this, I don't know, but I was attracted to the visual world, and I started to draw. I would go with my parents to people's homes, and I had nothing to do. You know, there was no other little children around my age, you know, for a while.
And what are we talking about now?
I was, you know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7, mm-hmm. something like that. Some of them, their friends were having children, but they were a couple years younger than me. So I would ask for some paper, and I happened to love to draw the room I was sitting in. And it's really interesting, the word perspective comes to mind, and I would be drawing a picture of the room in perspective. In a normal way that you would teach perspective, technically in a school, and I, for some reason I just was able to connect to that. And you know, I teach at Ringling College, mm-hmm. for many years, and I work with students, and you know, I try to explain that terminology of perspective and try to work with the theory of perspective, and it's very hard sometimes for students to understand that. And it's funny, I look back at when I was a child and
you just
was
knew
there.
It.
Yeah.
You didn't have to learn it. Nobody had to show you. It just...
Well, that's true. Well, I had trouble with lots of other things, but that was one of the few areas that I think I just can tap into and felt comfortable in. So,
well, it's wonderful then that you chose to pursue the thing that was easy.
Yes, I did. All my life. I mean, I was aimed. I was refocused on the art business.
Tell me.
As I, you know, went through school and you know, into high school, I just was focused on that area. And, of course, my dad was a blue-collar worker. He was a glazer. And, you know, he was thinking I might end up doing what he was doing. And he was preparing for that, and I had no interest. I had no, you know, just feelings for that type of world. My world was the visual world, and I aimed for that all the time. So throughout high school also, I went to a school that was considered a college preparatory school in Chicago, and they had offered a beautiful commercial art. It was called commercial art course in the four-year program. It was just basically set up like a college. And I know the last year, I remember having, I think it was 4 hours a day of art.
Oh my goodness.
Martial art in that school.
This is pretty remarkable for a high school.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And it was, in the school is a great school. My dad went to the same school.
But he didn't study
commercial
art.
No, this, you know, this school is, you know, around, and, you know, he didn't study that. They had a general technical course also. But that was really preparing me, and it was nice. I really enjoyed experiencing things that were really in the business.
Well, wait a second. So, did your parents must have known that you were majoring in this commercial art? Mm-hmm. How did your father deal with that? I mean, did
it was nice. Yeah, they always supported me. There was no.
There wasn't any. You know, I want you to go into the glazing business.
Yeah,
so, what are you doing this for?
No, in fact, my dad, I think, you know, envied that, because, you know, it was a different world, and the hard labor that's involved with glazing or any type of blue-collar work outside. Here I am sitting inside a studio somewhere, but I was aiming also for the graphic design business. I figured, well, you know, I'm not going to make money as a fine artist, so my aim was to really eventually go into the graphic design area, which is, you know, pretty well received. You know, there was lots of stuff happening at that time. I'm not sure about today, but there was plenty of
work.
Good work around, yeah.
So did you?
Yeah, yes I did.
So you went to high school, then you went to college and you...
I was going to college at night, and I was going to college in the daytime for a while, and I actually quit school. This was during the Vietnam War. It was sort of a very stressful time. I decided to quit, go back to work, and just see what was going to happen. I thought, okay, I'll go back to school. Well, unfortunately, I didn't go back to school. I was doing much better in the business world. I'm thinking, well, okay. You know, I was doing fine. And that I worked, you know, for many years, over 20-some years in the business of graphic design.
What is your medium? What is it that you want to do if you're not doing graphic design?
Well, I really focused more on fine art.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, you know, I have two different lives. The first life was the graphic design business and being in that area. And here, I've been a teacher, instructor at Ringling College.
Even though you didn't finish yourself.
No, and I've been over there for about going on my 25th year.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of luck involved. I think I always had a feeling in my heart that I wanted to do something where I would give out and have interactions with people in a different way. And I had teaching way in the back of my head, you know, somewhere back in there. And that's why I say it's like two different lives, because when I was basically a graphic designer for all those years, I'm focused on a different type of, you know, situation, different priorities, and I really never really got close to clients. You know, I was basically working for studios where there might be an art director or a creative director.
Who worked with the client,
yeah,
and then they brought you the project.
Yeah, they brought the project.
So
I would
sit
in my little place there and do it, and, you know, as a freelancer I was doing that also, but somehow through a different circumstances, I came to Florida. A friend of mine was living here. I came to Florida. Things started to fall into place.
Wait a minute. Things started to fall into place?
Well, what happened, I was on vacation. I went over to Ringling. I never heard of the school. Ringling, mm-hmm. It was called Ringling School. I went over there one day, and I was with my friend that was a good buddy of mine that lived in Bradenton Beach, and I was thinking about maybe moving here.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go around Sarasota and see if there was any real work in the graphic design business. And everyone that I spoke with said something about Ringling.
Ringling.
We use Ringling students sometimes. I go, what's Ringling?
You know?
So they said, well, it's a college, it was a school, over and so forth. So I thought, well, I'm going to go over to this school and just check it out. And I walked, parked the car, it was on a Thursday. And parked the car. It was around 4:10. Remember, this is an interesting thing that happened. I started walking across the street, and a lady comes walking toward me, and she said, I said, oh, are you open? I'd like to just see this. Well, she said, no, we're closing now. She said, are you interested in, you're looking for someone? I said, no, I'm just visiting. And I said, I'm just interested in the school. And she says, well, the man coming right behind me is the vice president of academic affairs. Maybe you could ask him some questions. So I walk up to this man. I said, hi. I said, this is interesting. I said, I have never heard of this school and so forth. And he asked me, he said, are you an artist? I said, yeah, I'm a graphic designer. He said, oh, really? I said, do you do three-dimensional graphic design? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, you know, we're looking for a teacher that can teach three-dimensional. He said, are you into packaging? And I said, yes, I did do some packaging. I did quite a bit of package design. He said, really? He says, well, he says, be interesting to talk to you. I said, wow. he says, can you come in tomorrow? And this was in August. It was 3 weeks before school was to start.
Oh, my gosh.
So I said, well, okay. I said, I'll bring my samples in. But I said, I'm sorry, I didn't bring a resume with me. I don't know why. I just did. So I went back to my friend's house in Bradenton Beach, and I said, do you have a typewriter? He says, no, I don't even have a typewriter. I said, holy cow, I have to do a resume. So I got a ballpoint pen out, and I started printing my whole resume over again. The next morning, go back to the school, walked in, and there was two people there, two men there. One was the head of the graphic design department, one was the vice president there. I start speaking with them, I start showing them my samples, and I started to get the feeling that they were going to hire me. I was there for 3 hours, and all of a sudden it came up, well, when are you going to come down? You're going to come down and join us. And I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. And we didn't even talk price yet, and I started talking about that, and one guy was sort of evading the question. And I said, holy cow, he said, we would like to have you work here. And I said, wow. He said, you got to make a decision because school's opening in 3 weeks. We need a teacher in that area. I said, I just can't do this fast. I said, give me some time. He said, well, we have the weekend. Monday morning, you have to let us know. Okay, so I went back. To make a long story short, I went back, talked to my friend. I couldn't do it. Called Monday morning. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I have a house up north. My son's up there. I have lots of friends, family. And later on, I went back to Chicago, and for 1 year, I thought about this. I decided to, after 1 year, sell my house, move down to Florida. I was going to stay with my friend on Bradenton Beach and just get a job. I moved down here, lived with him for a couple weeks. I decided to call Ringling School. The woman said the vice president was out of town, and she'll have him call me. 2 days later, I get a phone call, and he said, the same job is open if you want it. That was it. Wow. 25 years later, here I am.
Meant to be.
It was just amazing.
Yeah. This is amazing. This is a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story. So, so you're teaching graphic design.
No, yeah, well, I was for many years over there. The computer industry was really developing in the early 90s.
Oh, that's right. You're teaching graphic design before computers.
Right, and Ringling at that particular time they were just starting to get into that area.
Right.
They were just starting to touch computer technology. Well, it happened, and, of course, I was sort of being left behind. I really wasn't
getting any training. Yeah, because you were an analog person in a digital world.
Yeah, so fortunately, I made the shift. I happened to be able to, being an artist and being able to draw, I started to work with another department, and I became a figure drawing instructor. And that's what I've been doing for about 18 years now.
Wow.
Just all figure drawing.
So you never wanted to learn the computer graphic design?
Well, I never felt comfortable with the computer. Yes.
No, I mean, you've had a pencil or a crayon or something in your hand since 28 months, right?
Yeah, it always felt natural to have something in hand. I couldn't, even to this day, to work on a computer in the graphic design business is very strange because the lack of holding a material in your hand and touching that surface is not there. It's just something I never felt comfortable with. So fortunately, I was able to make the switch into something else, and I was teaching some other drawing courses there. But I started to settle into figure studies, and I love it. I really think that's a great area.
Now, what is it about figure studies? Do you know that calls you?
It's the dynamics of it. It's just everything about it. The whole, I've become so much more involved with the body, the figure. The idea of movement, the idea of structure, and the beauty, the emotions of it, everything that you could think about. And I try to deliver that message to the students in a very theoretical way sometimes, where I can have them look at it and appreciate it. And I always tell the students that this is a course about learning how to see. It's about learning how to see the figure, learning how to see the figure totally different than a person would see it when they start to draw. When a child starts to draw a figure, they look at it differently. And what I try to communicate is learning how to see the figure more or less from inside, moving outward.
The skeletal structure?
Yeah, the skeletal structure, the dynamics of movement, the dynamics of weight, the dynamics of just the way the different body types are and what happens. And it's a great thing because it's an area that you can study, and there's so many different things that you can learn about that. Because, of course, look at the people. I mean, look at the different body types, look at the people in the world. And it's a never ending like journey of studying the figure. It could go on. I mean, I could only study a tree so long or a landscape so long, and then say, okay,
because it's only standing there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different types of trees, and you know, I can see a sunset. How many sunsets can I see that are really different? But with figures, there's so much more dynamics because you're talking about something that has a personality inside, and if you could bring that out in some way, then I think it's very satisfying for you, and of course, the people that are viewers might also feel
they get that it. They get a sense of the actual person, the personality.
Yeah.
Am I close?
Absolutely, sure. And then they could relate to that, and that's a nice thing. And if not, that's okay because it's just a dynamic subject. It's a beautiful subject.
Yes, yeah. So the students who take that, is it a required course?
I specifically work with some of the people that really need this. And it really helps me because I'm happy to deliver it to people that can use it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's that thing you wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
It's that thing about communicating what you know to others, to have that interaction, that give and take, right?
And they will use that type of information, which is nice. It's hard to teach someone, you know, figure studies or something, and you know that they're not going to be interested in it because they're not going to ever want or use it in their business.
Right.
So this makes it a little bit more interesting, and when you get that connection, when you have the connection with a student or a group of students, and you see that energy between you and the students, then it makes everything work much better because then everyone sort of comes together on the same page.
Yeah, and what I hear is that it combines for you the two things that drew you, the drew you. Speak of pun, right?
Yeah.
You know, the art, mm-hmm. and also the interaction, the sharing of what you know. That those are the two things you talked about that you wanted to do. So you get to do both of them in this context, which must be really satisfying.
It is nice. Yeah, it's great. And it's such a different business, you know, when I think about the past in Chicago as a graphic designer. And I'm so fortunate and very happy to have, you know, had made the switch and had the opportunity to move into a totally different area and have that same, you know, amount of time that I spent. Right now, I've been, like, say, 25 years. I was a graphic designer for 25 years.
Wow.
And I'm looking at these two totally different worlds, and it's great. I mean, I'm very happy to say that, well, I'm much happier now than doing the work that I did in the past.
You are?
Oh, yes.
Because it has this other thing.
Yes. It's because of the communication effect. I love to be able to deliver and interact with people that are just starting out. They're coming out of high school. They're ready to move into this new world of opportunity.
Right. You have this gift to give them.
And it's nice to be able to interact with these people, these new young minds that are ready to move on to life. That's a great feeling.
It's interesting, too, to me, because so many artists are insular. They're not interested in interaction. They're interested in, this is what's going on in my mind between me and the canvas, or me and the score paper, or me and the dance, or whatever it is. It's all
true.
About me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not common to find an artist. Oh, performance artists are interested in influencing an audience. That's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an unusual thing, I think. This combination of wanting not only to do the work, but to give it away to other people who can also use it.
Yes, yeah.
I think that's unusual.
Yeah, it's a nice feeling, and it's giving. At
yes,
the same
it
time.
Is. No.
I you know, it's my business. I would like to keep continuing it. And I know some of the faculty at Ringling have been there for many years, and there's a few people I know that have been there forever. And, of course, they can retire.
But they don't want to.
And I could also. But, yeah, it's why not? If you could move along, I always remember my dad when he hit 62.
Mm-hmm.
He was counting the days.
Yeah, he hated it.
And he took his retirement at 62. He was just counting the days. He was waiting just as if he were in prison.
Right.
And And I think about that, you know, often. And I think, wow, you know, here I am in this other world. It's not like that at all. And it's too bad. And my dad, of course, he had a great retirement after he moved on from that business that he was in. And I'm very happy to say that in the business I'm in, I could stay here, hopefully, you know, I don't know, I might retire, but I could still move the same way I moved earlier in my life in the business of teaching, mm-hmm. you know, the same knowledge. And even in fact, sometimes more knowledge is given out.
Right.
Because you collect more things. But it's just nice to be able to say that it's satisfying rather than to count the days and say, oh, I wish I could get out of here. So,
you know, the thrust of the Lin Zhou is about helping people become who they really are. And the reason that I interview artists is because in order to be an artist in this culture, it really has to be who you really are. I mean, it's not a lot of people can make a living as an artist in this culture, and you have to be driven by what it is that's integral to you, because this is what you have to do in order to be an artist in this culture. Unfortunately, most of the world is doing things that have nothing to do with who they are. This is the point I think you're making about your father, that people spend most of their life doing things that have nothing to do with them, and that's such a crime, really, mm-hmm. when it's possible to have a life that comes, you know, organically out of you and is, mm-hmm. And is, well, I just keep saying the same words, you know, is actually who you really are. Who you really are is an artist and a teacher. That is who you are. And as you spend your life doing it, feels great to you, and it's great to everybody who's on the other end, you know, because there's no disconnect for you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I thought about that quite often, you know, with people in jobs and situations mm-hmm. where they're there. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I, like I mentioned before, I started off liking art, liking to, wanting to draw, and I was very fortunate to be able to focus that much on that particular area. But yes, I know quite a few people that
more
wander around, and it's very hard, and I really can't understand the feeling they're having, because you know, they might tap into an insurance job, and then they might tap into something else, their sales or something, and thinking, wow, you know, maybe, you know, they're looking for something, they're not quite sure. It is nice if you're fortunate to have some particular area that, you know, you could see maybe as a child. But not only be able to see it, be able to focus on it enough where you possibly can make things happen so that you're really going to study that particular area.
Yes.
It's like if a child were having this need to want to be a doctor, or feeling to help people out, and having that vision when they're 5 or 6 years old, and then aiming for that. Yeah, I can see that happening. But I'm sure. I mean, probably most of the people in this world are not finding that particular connection when they're real young.
No, I think. Well, actually, I think probably. I mean, we couldn't prove this, but I think the chances are good that all children are having that. And very few have mommies who keep their first drawing.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think. Well, I think that so many parents have ideas about who their kid has to be, what their child has to do, and that they miss the cues that are natural for the child. And so they don't encourage it. So the child doesn't get permission to follow that passion. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we can't prove it, but that's what I think. And I think mm-hmm. that when, well, there are two things. One is what happened for you, which I think is really extraordinary. It's extraordinary that you drew something at 28 months old. And I think it's extraordinary that she kept it. And that said to you, this is a value. This is important. This is good. this is good, I can do this. And that allowed you to follow that thing. I talked to a lot of people whose parents didn't do that, but the passion in them was so strong that over time, sometimes much later in life, they had to sing or dance or write or draw or whatever it is. And they're lucky, but you are the most lucky.
Well, that's what I have to think about that all the time. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yes.
I think it's
giving gratitude because, like anyone else, I could forget. And I have to come back to that. Yes.
You mean to your sense of gratitude?
Yes, to be able to be very thankful for some of the things, some of the pieces that fell into place. You know, there's a little bit of serendipitous things that happen or luck.
A little?
And, well, yeah.
You know, there are philosophies that suggest that if you, quote, follow your bliss, the universe will cooperate. Hmm.
Yes, I've been studying some of that.
I'm sure it seems to be what happened for you.
Yes.
I mean, that whole thing with railing is,
You
know, it's that, isn't it?
It's just interesting to see or experience things like that. And I like to come back to that story because I want to come back to stories like that because they're positive. And I want to keep reinforcing that positiveness. And if I mention that to someone else, then I find that maybe they could tap into something that would be similar, and maybe they could look at something that might happen because it happens.
Have a little trust.
Yes, and it does happen. And, you know, so much of the information we're receiving today about, you know, the secret and, you know, following, you know, looking for things and having the universe connect to you in ways is a very interesting, very interesting area of study. I think I'm very much attracted to that, mm-hmm. and I'm very much trying to connect to that part. I know we're constantly bombarded by negative things, constantly.
Yes.
And it's hard, you know. You could make the shift and be pulled. And here we are living in this world of balance between the positive and the negative all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I work at trying to keep more or less focused on the other, on the positive. And
you have a lot of support for it in your life, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's lovely. So, do you create art on your own now at all, or is it all teaching?
Yes, I actually do a lot of painting. I'm represented by some galleries. A real good gallery I'm represented by is right in Sarasota here, called State of the Arts Gallery. And they're on State Street, and they're right between Lemon and Orange. If you know where the Hyde Park restaurant is, that's State Street right there. They've been doing a great job representing me for about 2 years now.
Lovely.
And I've sold quite a few paintings through that gallery. I'm also represented up in Atlanta at Lagerquist Gallery up there. And I'm also represented in Captiva at Jan's Antique and Art.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the three places right now. I've been associated with these galleries now for quite a while.
That's great. So when do you paint?
Well, I have, as an instructor, full-time instruction is 18 hours a week.
So you have time.
I have time to paint.
Mm-hmm.
I paint all the time. I paint, if I can paint every day or every other day, I will. Even if I go into my studio and I don't paint much, I might at least address the work that's there, fool around a little bit, look at things. Other times I'll start painting, and it's nice because I feel that I could paint on my own time and my own terms rather than when I was in the graphic design business, I had to meet deadlines for clients.
And you had to do what they wanted.
Yes, right. And this is the nice thing about the fine art. Of course, being a fine artist, you have to work hard to market yourself. The PR part is another job in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you could get established and have some representation by galleries or other places, that does help. Have a website. I have a website which helps a little bit also. which is LarryForgard.com. That's it. And, you know, it's a nice balance between the teaching because, again, I move into a different place.
Yes.
I move into a place by myself.
Yes, it's that thing I was talking about. You have the best of all possible worlds, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So. I like to ask if you would just think for a second about what it's been like to live a life really so dedicated to art. Anything that you would say about what that's like?
I guess I really don't think about that. It's a natural, for me, it's just a natural process, like breathing. It's just part of my existence.
Yes.
I guess if I were comparing it to something, then I would be aware. But because I always liked to draw, and always wanted to be in the visual world this way, you know, painting, drawing, doing anything with visual. It's just part of me. I really don't even.
Yeah, it's great. There's this terrific through line from that 28-month-old child, right? Straight through.
Yeah.
It's like you never really deviated. You found it, mm-hmm. and then you just wrote it, essentially, right? I mean, that.
Yeah, it's well, I guess I never really sit down and think about the process. It's just nice to be able to do. I'm trying to live in the now, and well, here's another story. I met a wonderful woman that has two little children adopted from China. Mm-hmm. And this is my new life, and it's a great life. And it's a loving, loving life with mm-hmm. a loving woman. Mm-hmm. And her two children, her two little girls, one is 2 years old, one's 7.
Wow.
And I'm entering a new world. And I'm just attaching to the children, and I think a lot about the art. I'm really involved with looking at them at that age now, and how they're looking at the visual world.
Wow. And to see it through their eyes?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what is happening in their little world of visuals. And, you know, one is attracted to drawing already. And it's so fun because I'm noticing as I see this little girl draw, you know, it's bringing back memories when I was that age. And then the other one is the real little. She's only 2 years old. She's just learning how to hold I was just trying to help her hold a pencil the other day, the way you would hold a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another world now that I'm entering with two children that are in my life, and now I'm teaching in a different way. I'm, you know, not only in other aspects other than art, but I'm looking at art specifically. I'm teaching these two children
how to see,
to appreciate that part. And of course, their mother, the woman I'm with, she's an artist, but she does jewelry and all that. So I'm also being attracted to that area. So there's some new doorways opening here.
But they're still on the same through line.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
still the same. And they also include that piece about sharing what you know and giving something of value to another human being.
Yes. And that's them definitely, and I love that because here I've never had an experience to work with real little children. I never had the feeling to do that. I'm glad to work with the students that are out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And here, this is different, and it's very satisfying, and it's giving me a sense of understanding that if I communicate something for art, you know, to teach someone something about drawing, now I have to shift to a different level. I have to go down to this level.
Yes. You have to find another way to communicate it.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a new learning for you. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. It's an interesting thing because I've been teaching for so many years at Ringling, with students that were 18 to 21 years old.
Right.
And here, the shift now has an extra thing, 2-year-old and 7-year-old. What's happening here?
It's lovely.
And it's an interesting thing that's happening. It's a great, great feeling of, you know, with that. And I love it when I have them come over. They run into my studio, and we put 2 chairs up against this table. They roll them up. They get in there. One's sitting this high, and the table's real high. And she grabs that pencil, and she's like this. The other one is doing something real articulate. But it's neat to see, I'm very, very happy to say that I'm experiencing something, to watch these 2 children appreciate something that I also experienced when I was a little younger. And I'm thinking, and as I talk to the mother, I think, what's going to happen? Are these girls going to be? And we're coming up with ideas of what might they do later on. Where are they going to go? Is one going to be an artist? One's going to be a singer?
Yeah. Right. Just let them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's neat, the creative world. I mean, that's the thing. That's the world, the creative world, the visual world. It's just a great world.
Okay, but what I hear is something slightly different, and that is the really wonderful connection that you have to yourself, that everything that you do is congruent. I don't know if you understand what that means. It comes from who you really are. That you're following an internal vision of what is right for you. So graphic design was right for you. Then teaching was right for you. Now this experience with this woman and these children, that's right for you. You're never trying to fit yourself into something else. You know, I'll do insurance because that'll pay, or I'll do sales because I got the job, or whatever. Your life, I don't know how to say this in a way that's clearer. You're internally, it speaks to you and you follow it. So it feels perfect, because it is perfect for you. Do you understand what
I'm
saying?
Yes, it is perfect. And it's another, you know, as I mentioned, another doorway, another part of the room. And you know, what I was just thinking about when you were saying that, here my dad at 62, 63, he was putting away the work. He was going to retire. He was going to live in that world. And in my case, I'm opening up another doorway for another journey.
Yes.
I can't even think of retire. I am retired, because retired is enjoying what you do.
I have a friend who's an artist, and she says that on her computer, she has a saying. It says, "If you love your job, you never have to go to work."
That's true.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I look at some of the great actors. You know, people like George Burns, for mm-hmm. instance.
Yeah, right.
Look at that man. He was just fun. He was having a great time.
With his whole life.
Of course, that's a great business, you know, maybe.
Oh, no, 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 don't do that.
But what he was, you know, he was at that level.
Right.
Was nice. But there's a lot of people. I'm sure there's plenty of doctors and other people, you know, scientists and great, you know, there's great musicians, of course, mm-hmm. you know, and other artists that will go on and on. I heard one time, what was it, Picasso had a child when he was 90 years mm-hmm. old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Busy creating, right?
Yeah. What's this thing? I can go on and on. And it's nice, you know, if all of us, you know, can address, I know the age thing is a real big factor. We always think, oh, this age relates to, oh, I better watch out, I'm getting old. I hit a certain number. There's a number that someone gave me. Now I feel like I'm old because that number is telling me I'm old.
Right.
What?
Right.
No, not in some places. That's not true.
Yeah.
And I think if a lot of the people that are baby boomers today can also accept the idea that, hey, there's a new world just starting and we can go on and on.
Yeah.
And not listen to our moms and dads that grew up in the Depression and said, boy, at 40 years old,
you're old.
We're already old.
Right.
We're over the hill already.
But see, I think that what you're saying is that I think only a person who has what you have, which is this terrific permission to be yourself, to allow yourself to continue to be be becoming whatever it is that fits you, right? I'm not being that articulate here, but I think that that's what allows a person to go on and on and on, is that who you are, what works for you, what turns you on, what, you know, that never dies. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how old you are, because that thing is always there. That's true. If you don't have that,
yeah.
If you never had that, you're not going to necessarily get it because you can now retire. I mean, people retire and die because they don't have...
They don't, right. The spark starts to dwindle.
Well, they don't have permission to find it inside themselves, whatever it is that turns them on.
Yeah. And I understand that exactly. And it's hard sometimes because you could easily find a dead end.
Oh, and most people do.
And, you know, I can only visualize here. I am visualizing something. I can visualize a maze. And as you move through the maze, sometimes you run into these places where
they don't go through, right.
And you have to come back to another spot, another fork in the road, and then move into another direction and try it out. But I think what you're saying is that the feeling that you have inside has to give you that, what, permission to move on?
I think it is permission. I think it is not only permission, but the belief that, oh, look at that, this doesn't go anywhere, but there is a where for me to go. Mm-hmm. There is somewhere else for me to go. If you don't have that, then you just stand there banging your head against the dead end.
Yeah.
You know? And for me, this is the reason that I interview artists, because what you're saying, the fact that you have lived the life that you have lived and you continue to live your life and it gets better and better because there's no end to what works for you. You keep regenerating, finding it, you know? That's why I interview people like this, so that other people who don't have that can hear it. You know?
Well, yeah, and I would like to say, yes, if sometimes the opportunities are there, of course, you know, there's things that maybe I'm attracting, hopefully, in a positive way, and that helps out. But I've had times where I felt as if I were not even moving, mm-hmm. and I was in one of those dead ends on the maze, and I couldn't even get back to the fork in the road because I was just staying there, probably with my mind not wanting to move.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't giving myself permission to go back to the fork in the road and finding another path. I just stayed there. And I mean, that could be a permanent thing for me or for anyone. I think I have to say that, like, I'm just like anyone else. I mean, there's good times and there's bad times. There's, you know, times when, you know, you just feel like everything's falling into place, and other times where
everything's falling apart.
Yeah. You know, there is, it's a balance of things that happen. What I think I'm trying to do now is more or less focus more on, hey, there's only good. If I could say, yes, there's the bad. No. There's the good, the opportunities, the serendipitous things that help out, the things that connect. I'm really trying to say, this is where it's going to go. It's going to be fine because new things are going to happen. Yes. And, you know, that's a great area for me to focus on. And I want to just keep going in that direction. And I can't say that sometimes I fall back like anyone. But I'm working on it.
Well, so. I think that you're a living, breathing example of the fact that life will continue to offer gifts to you if you continue to believe in yourself.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah.
So, boy, I think that's a great way to end this. Thank you so much,
wow.
Larry.
Yeah, that is, it's just things start to come out and I don't even know what's going to happen here.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, yes, it's very nice, and it's great talking to you, Lynn. I mean,
thank you.
It's a great way to start a Monday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Monday morning.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
So very few of us get the remarkable opportunity that Larry Forgot got. That is to say, he picked up a crayon at 28 months old, and his mother kept it, so that he still has tangible proof of his attraction to, desire for, interest in art from the very beginning. Now, I said to Larry, and I believe this absolutely, I think that all of us at that age are drawn to, interested in, compelled by some things. You know, you can see kids dancing. You can see kids, you can hear them making up songs, singing, making sounds with their voices, drawing, making, you know, mud pies, playing, you know, with balls. These interests, which show up so, so young, are there. They're us. They're part of us. And in the same way that our attraction to art, arts, shows up early, so does the who we are, our temperament, our way of being in the world, our interest. And as I've been saying over and over and over in this show, unfortunately, instead of encouraging that natural progression from whatever it is to whoever you would be if you were not impeded, most parents have distinctive ideas about what is good and what is bad. You know the stories of kids who are naturally left-handed, whose parents decided that left-handed was not okay. You know, this all goes back to some myth about the devil and the left hand. And so that they broke their kids of their natural way of using their hands. And I don't mean they broke their hands. I mean they forced them to use the other hand instead. Well, that is a metaphor for what so many of us do to our children and what so many of us had done to us. No, don't cry. You know, big boys don't cry. That's not a boy thing. Don't do that. No, don't make a lot of noise. Kids should be seen and not heard. Now, these are very old-fashioned sentiments, and yet you see them over and over again, even if they don't use those words. You know, don't get dirty. I know a woman who was punished terribly for drawing on the wall. And this woman is an artist, and she's found many, many ways to express that art, but not in drawing, because she discovered very early, very powerfully, that drawing was dangerous. I have a story from my own life that has to do with arts and crafts when I was a kid, and a craft I couldn't do, which I know now has to do with my dyslexia, but it made me think that I had no skill and talent at that, and boy, I have avoided that until really very late in my life for shame. And shame is a big way that they stop us from being who we are. But Larry Forgard didn't have that. He had a mommy who said, wow, that's great. I'm going to keep that. And it reinforced for him, who I am is great. What I want to do is great. I can be who I am. You know, as I've said over and over and over in this show, so I'm sorry if you're having to hear it again, the reason I interview people who make their living or their life with their art is because in order to do that in this culture, it really has to be who you are, because we're so anti-art in this culture. You know, unless you're making a great deal of money, unless you're famous, unless, if this is just something that comes out of you naturally, it's discouraged by most parents. And again, not by Larry's parents, which, yay for Larry's mother. And yay for Larry. And you can see the through line over and over again in his life. Whatever he says about there being moments of despair or doubt or concern, over and over again, he writes himself. He is Larry. He's the man who wants to draw. He's the man who's drawn to the visual. He's the man who wants to share what he has to give it away. And you can see it over and over again, just coming around again, because it's integral, right? It's congruent. That's the psychological word. It is who he is. And you can hear the pleasure and the joy that comes from being who you are. So, I guess that's enough of that. Let me tell you that this show depends on the expertise of yet another man who is who he is, and that is Josh Hackney, who is everything electronic. Computer, internet, recording. If it has to do with this stuff, Josh, he just is it. He just has it. And in addition to that, he has kindness and tolerance and patience and integrity. So, does that sound good? If you need any of those things, you need to have Josh. And you can find him by going up on my website, thelynnshow.com. That's THELYNNE. Don't leave out the E. You'll get a different Lynn. THELYNNESHOW, The Lynn Show. And you go up on there and you click email me and you say, I want Josh, and I'll get him for you. Of course, you can click email me and say any number of things to me. You can tell me what you think about the show. You can tell me your own story. You can ask me a question. You can order the book or the CD or pretty much anything. You can come into therapy with me. Oh my gosh, it's been a long time since I talked about myself as a therapist. But I am, of course, and I do all the work on my telephone, so if you live somewhere far away from Florida, but you still want to talk to me, go up on thelynnshow.com and email me and say I'd like to talk to you. Okay, so as always, I hope that you got something from this show that you can use. Something that interested you, that compelled you, that gave you information you didn't have, or reminded you of something you used to know but forgot. Anyway, something that'll bring you back, because I will be here next week, same time, same station, 2 o'clock in Eastern Standard Time. And, oh my gosh, I think it's 7 o'clock over the pond, and 11 o'clock on the West Coast, I hope. Anyway, I'll be here, and I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you see my face and figure. I've both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. only ashes.